Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Brother Lehman Sports Happy Hour. We are your hosts, Chris.
And Jonathan.
It's been a lot going on in sports, man. We got a lot to talk about. Let's just get into it, man. We just sitting here just already going talking about the Lakers.
Hey.
You know that, you know, they've been playing well after the All-Star break. Given that, they starting to, you know, you had to give them time with all this change, but at, you know, All-Star break, this is what I said, just be close in striking range, and Utah's giving them their spot.
I give credit where credit's due. The Lakers are gelling well. They're playing well right now. You know, they took some time, but they finally look like they're clicking. Could have, you know, given Mike Brown some of that time, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. You know, they're starting to gel. Dwight Howard's starting to play a little bit better on the defensive end. Offensively, he's not really getting the touches he should or the shots he should, yeah. I should say. But you know what? As long as they're winning, I really don't think he has an issue with it. But as far as the game tonight with New Orleans, the Lakers down by as much as 25 and coming back to win. I tweeted this earlier. I don't give the Lakers so much credit for coming back to win as I blame the Hornets for just blowing it and choking. I mean, how you score 9 points in the fourth quarter? Seriously?
That's how it was.
You were even down to like a minute left, you were still up by 2 points and you still couldn't close out the deal. Like the closer the Lakers just kept getting to tying the score, I was just like, New Orleans is sorry. That's all that was just going through my head the whole game. Like, New Orleans is weak. This is why y'all are sorry. Like, y'all are weak. It was the same thing like with the Bobcats. Like when the Bobcats had a huge lead and the Lakers came back and won, it was just like, the Bobcats suck. Like, yeah, God, y'all are terrible.
Yeah, but the other problem is this is a team that should have been a win, period. Like, I listened to it the first quarter in the car. And I was like, okay, it's close. You know, I expected. All right. You know, I come home. I'm like, Lakers are down 18 in the third. Like, what the hell? Like, to the Hornets.
Hey.
You know, nobody, you know, I didn't expect, and most people and Laker fans didn't expect them to beat Oklahoma City.
Nope.
So, got their bus with Oklahoma City.
Big time.
That wasn't shocking.
Nice.
You know. But you figured, all right, they're back-to-back New Orleans, so we can get that.
That's an easy win. You know, not so much.
What's he coming off that?
Had to work for that W.
Yeah. Only step on some D, and you needed some luck, which, you know, you take the wins. That's all that matters now. Just take the wins to get in. That's their main focus. Just, that's it. Take the wins to get in.
This is fine. They can take the wins to get in. The Lakers, I'm going to just say this for y'all. Do that against Oklahoma City. Do that against San Antonio. Do that against the Clippers. Give them a 20-point lead. You'll get crushed by 40. There ain't no coming back from that. So if you continue to do that, fine. You got my Bulls coming up soon, so let them have a 20-point lead, and we'll see what happens. Tom Thibodeau going to be like, all right, lock it down. Let's just end this now. Fine. Even though we lost to the freaking Spurs tonight.
Yes,
good God almighty. We need Derrick Rose back.
Happy hour tonight.
We need Derrick Rose back. That just, to me, this game just solidified that we need Rose back. We were up. We were holding it. But towards the end, San Antonio's D kicked in. We couldn't score anymore. And then that's where Derrick Rose would come in handy. He's that scoring punch. He's that threat. He makes guys double team him. He opens it up for other players. Marco Bellinelli, though, I got to give him some love. Brother was hitting tonight. Woo! Kyle Korver part two. There you go. There's our replacement for Kyle Korver. If we can get Derrick Rose need to come back. And I tell you, the other key player for the Bulls that he's got to come back and be healthy, it's Kirk Heinrich. When Kirk Heinrich plays and plays well and efficient, the Bulls are a completely different team than how they usually are. That's exactly why Tom Thibodeau likes him so much. He runs the offense well. He keeps everybody, you know, he keeps the plays going well. He knows what to do. He's loved in Chicago for all the years he's been there. He's a mentor to Derrick Rose. So, you know, he's one of the keys for the Bulls to make it a long run. Even with Derrick Rose coming back, you got to have Heinrich. Even if he's Derrick Rose's backup, you need him, at least for that veteran leadership as well. But Spurs, good God almighty. Dude. It just, Tony Parker ain't there. It doesn't matter.
Man.
It doesn't matter. We just keep rolling. Tim Duncan is like Tim Duncan from 10 years ago. Ginobili's finally starting to get into the swing of things again after being out. And their bench is deadly, man. Their young players are serious. Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, Tiago Splitter, all them fools. They can play. I'm like, Jesus Christ. All Greg Popovich is doing is just setting them up.
Ginobili just like, all right, Tony Parker ain't playing. All right, I got it. And just slicing.
I'm just like, it's ridiculous. So it's the number one question with the Spurs, of course, health. And if they can stay healthy, look for them to make a huge run in the playoffs. But that's if. That's a big if. Because it always seems like every single year they get to the playoffs, somebody got to get hurt. Whether it's Tim Duncan, Ginobili, or Parker, somebody's getting hurt. And Ginobili seems like he gets hurt every other month. Like, he is always hurt. So, if they can stay healthy.
They can at least somewhat withstand a little bit if he's not 100%. They can at least withstand. But, yes, like, Duncan and Parker got to be healthy. But they role players have got to step up. To me, the Spurs, that's always been their thing. Can their other guys step up
and make
the big plays? Mm-hmm. And apparently they haven't.
Yeah.
Now James Harden took over and Danny Green disappeared and, you know, Matt Bonner. But, I mean, Tiago Splitter stepping up. Carlin, you know, all these dudes got another year in the system. All these dudes, you know, got swept four straight to lose and not get into the finals. So we could have shown what's up and get that LeBron have his rematch. Like, you want to be crowned the best? Rematch. You know you want that. You want that rematch against the Spurs who swept that ass.
So let me ask you as a Spurs fan, who would you consider the team to beat in the West, Spurs or the OKC Thunder?
We still got to beat the Thunder. I mean, we lost to them last year. You know, we'll see how they are, you know, without Harden. But, you know, I like Kevin Martin there. And to me, it's still about, you know, they two big guns. They got another year, and they've both stepped up. Ibaka stepped up. And, you know, they last year's champion from the West. And they basically haven't proven that they have fallen off. So I'm like, all right. We need to play y'all and beat y'all.
Speaking of Ibaka, did you peep that nut check he gave to Blake Griffin?
Like,
I'm like, look, it is kind of a head scratcher how you suspend David Lee and Roy Hibbert when they don't even throw punches, yet he clearly swiped at Blake Griffin's nuts, got him, and.
Dude, he did that shit straight on. He was like, karate chop.
Yeah, like, he wasn't looking down. It's like, you ain't got to look down. Yeah. Peripheral vision, my friend.
I'm like, dude.
Whop.
Like, y'all almost around the same height.
I'm with
you
Stephen A.
Right
Smith.
In front of him and swing your arm down. What you going to try to hit his knee?
I'm with Stephen A. Smith. Ladies, understand this. It don't even take but a breeze. Like, it hurts. And him swiping down like that, I know Blake Griffin wasn't faking that. That crap hurt. I know he hurt.
And Kobe had to shut up with that. You know, like,
I would have smacked him. Kobe, look, I know you're trying to play alpha male and dominate and all this.
Do you not have any more? Did you get him taken off? Because, I mean, as competitive as you are, nothing hurt. We get all that. But, dude, come on. You talking about the nuts. You ain't getting up.
Exactly.
You know, I'm just going to get away from the pain. Dude, nobody.
Exactly. So it was foul. It was a little weird that, you know, David Lee and Roy Hibbert got suspended, even though, you know, it was a little bit of a melee, but they didn't throw blows at each other. Roy Hibbert knew after the game he was going to be suspended. And then you have this situation where Serge Ibaka clearly hits Blake Griffin and he gets fined. So, I mean, this is David Stern's last year as commissioner of the NBA, but it's clearly, you know, we're clearly still having some issues with consistency as far as, you know, dealing out the penalties. You got to be consistent. You can't, you know, suspend one person for not even throwing a punch and then not suspend somebody for basically throwing a swipe and somebody hitting them below the belt where a man should never be hit. I don't even care. You should never go there for anybody. The only time you should ever even attempt to go there is if you are by yourself, you got four cats around you, and you need to do something to survive. All right, fine, go ahead. But besides that, you should not even be aiming for that.
Dude, and that play that J.J. Barea did on
Ray Allen?
Yeah.
You know what? That was...
I was like, and he got a flagrant two for that? I was like, wait a minute. You actually went back and watched the footage and see Serge Ibaka, and he get a flagrant one. But all he does is stick out his chest and bump. It wasn't like he...
Yeah, and I'm like, people like, he pushed him. I'm like, he didn't really push him. No. He kind of just... He gave him a little nudge. Yeah. But he didn't, like, push him.
He was D'ing him up, like, man, close. And, you know, Ray Allen, like, is the one who kind of pushed off with the forearm.
Made contact, may push him a little bit. Right. He was like, okay, I give you a little bump back.
And he bumped him with the chest. And, you know, Ray Allen was going, making a move, and he felt like, oh, that's dangerous. I'm like, no, like, I can understand, you know, when Jason Smith, like, ran over Blake Griffin, like, you intensely, like a bull at a China shop.
Like when Rajon Rondo, or like when Dwayne Wade clotheslined Rajon Rondo, basically. Yeah. Just like you stop. It's like, right. What you doing?
Yeah, you stopping a dude dead.
Like, that's dangerous. Can't grab a dude by his neck like that. That's dangerous. So, consistency. David Stern, it's your last year. Get it together. Consistency. Come on.
He ain't worried about that. But, yeah, I mean, I like Oklahoma City. No, we ain't giving up the number one spot. I mean, don't trip on that. Like, oh, Tony Parker hurt. Let's just give Oklahoma City the number one seed. Like, no. It ain't like... Oh, we just gonna fall off? Like, no. But of course, you know what that means. Now he's gonna take hits in his MVP vote.
Yep.
He should be third, you know, behind, you know, Durant and.
Well, they went and without him, so he technically ain't that valuable. It's like, okay. Okay. But of course, we already know who's getting MVP, and that's LeBron James. Which, I mean, in all honesty, he should win MVP. I mean, seriously. He's having the best year of his freaking career. And he's already won, what, three of them? You have to give him for four. You have to.
Yeah.
You cannot just not give him one in the best year of his career.
The only way he would lose it is if Durant all of a sudden in April was just like, I'm putting up like.
Even if he does
five
that.
Five triple-doubles. No, because he's, to me, if he does, it's always how you close.
No.
Although I will say tonight.
No.
I know after his play, I was like, I wonder if people are going to start saying, is this, does LeBron James shot in the fourth quarter? Would that layup prove that he's clutch? Like, is he a clutch player? Is that going to be what's on?
First thing in the morning. Is he clutch?
Has he got that
here we go again.
Like, he's not a scorer like that. Like, but I'm like, good for them. He balling his butt off. He's proving.
You know what? They're on a great winning streak right now, and they're kicking butt. You know, they're playing as the dominant team that people thought they were going to be when they first got together.
Right. Except they're not putting up the whole, we going to break 72 wins.
Nobody's going to do that.
Well, they ain't even tried. They haven't even won, like, the outright first place.
Let's be clear. In the league. Nobody is ever going to win 72. Nobody's winning 73 games. Okay? Nobody's ever going to break that record. You would damn near have to go undefeated in the NBA season, which is 82 games. And it's never going to happen again. Ever. Ever. So we can just forget that. We can kill that. Kill that nonsense. At least not in my lifetime.
But, man, what's up with I'm tired of this and this dunk contest crap. Now, you know, Magic
you know what? Magic, I know where your heart is and you're trying to do the right thing. But once again, I have to agree with Stephen A. Smith. Where the hell were you 3 weeks ago when the All-Star game was popping? Why are you coming out 3 weeks after it's over and like, yeah, I put up a meal? What are you setting them up for next year? For what?
This is their one last hope.
But it's like, I know you want to see LeBron in it, but in all honesty, LeBron's a grown man. If he wants to do it, he can do it. If not, don't force the man to do it. Don't force his hand. Don't try to force him to do it.
He's picking at it every time, but not even, but just with his comments. I mean, if he wants to do the dunks during pregame, you know, whatever.
And my thing is, where did that come from that all of a sudden that just became the hype? Like, when, how long has he been doing this? And all of a sudden now it's popular? Like, I don't understand why it got popular now. Yeah, 10 years after he's been in the league. Why all of a sudden we like, oh, crap, dude, you see what he's doing in the pregame? Like, what? He's been doing this since he was a Cleveland. Like, who cares?
Because yeah, he's doing dunks that.
With the dunk contest, okay, let's say you do get LeBron James in the dunk contest. If he's going up against Jeremy Evans, Gerald Green, and you know, Kawhi Leonard, nobody's going to care. They're automatically going to crown LeBron James if he does a two-handed dunk. Like, he can stand up and just be like, bam, 50. Like, he didn't do nothing. But
he can do the tomahawk. Like,
the only way it's going to work with LeBron is if he has three or four stars with him. That's the only way it's going to work. Because if you put him with scrubs who can dunk but, like, don't do nothing else, nobody's going to care.
If you're like, well, if LeBron James,
he automatically wins.
Everybody going to do it. I'm like, well, everybody, some people already done it. I'm like, Blake Griffin don't have to do it again.
Nope. Dwight Howard's done it. Serge Ibaka did it.
Like, Dwight Howard did it. I'm like, now, you could ask LeBron, like, when Dwight Howard was doing it, LeBron could have did it.
Yeah.
You know, to me, when his first 5 years, you know, he should have done it. Because
mm-hmm.
he was still popular. He hadn't fully got into playing on Sundays the most. I mean, did he play his rookie year? Did he get in rookie year? I don't think so.
Where? To the All-Star game? I don't know. Probably.
But, I mean, you know, after, like, you've been there 5-6 times, you know, Sunday is your main event.
Yeah.
You know, once he made it to the finals, that was it. Saturdays are over unless you're doing the three-point contest. Because the dunk contest is a lot of pressure. You just can't go out there and just dunk. And I don't blame him. It's like, what? If I win now, so what? If I win it, what? No.
Do you care about me winning anything?
No.
So
If I did a dunk contest and just blew y'all off and then I didn't win the championship, then you'd be like, oh.
It's just because people want to see him do it. That's all. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Look, we're trying to say.
Ron, do what you want. That's all I say. Do what you want. If you want to do it, go ahead and do it. If you don't do it. It doesn't matter.
And if they do it and you get 4 or 5 dudes, oh, okay, is that going to happen again next year? Nope. And then you're back to complaining about the dunk contest.
And in all honesty, I believe this truly. Ain't nothing LeBron can do that, to me, is going to be better than what Vince Carter did ever. So, I'm sorry. Vince Carter ended the dunk contest years ago. So, that's it. Dunk contest is over.
Well, in terms of having that level.
Ain't nothing LeBron can do that's going to wow me like Vince Carter wowed me. So, whatever.
His in-game dunks are better.
Exactly. And ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Oh, man.
What's going on here? I mean, out of the way, you still got the Clippers, you know, them top three teams.
They're starting to drop a little bit.
Yeah, they're struggling a little bit. Memphis is a game and a half behind them. Denver is starting to click.
Denver's really starting to come on strong. Watch out for that team. Ty Lawson is a beast.
Yeah, Ty Lawson, he's a beast. You know, If they go far, he's going to have to be their number one. He's going to have to make the late game buckets. Mm-hmm. You know, who's they? Everybody's
he's
saying
definitely
no
he's
star,
top 10
him.
Point guard. Without question.
And Golden State, you know, Steph Curry.
If they can hold it up.
Damn, 54 in the garden? Doing
the
his
man
own little
can
shake?
Shoot the lights out. That's what he does. I mean, he can shoot, but he's developed an all around game. He's become pretty good. And he's been able to stay relatively healthy this season, which has been, you know, a blessing for him because he's been injury prone since he's coming to the league. But he's finally, you know, been able to be relatively healthy. He's got nice players around him. I like Mark Jackson as a coach. They're doing some things. They're meshing well. And David Lee, hey, with them two. They got a nice core there with Steph Curry and David Lee. You got a nice core. I am not counting Andrew Bogut because he can't stay healthy ever.
And Klay Thompson.
Yeah, Klay Thompson. You got Harrison Barnes as your threes, your future three. So
they gonna, you know, if they're smart,
gonna be good.
Take the Oklahoma City road and just ride the contracts out till, you know, that whole.
If you want to amnesty,
they already did.
Oh,
they chose Charlie Bell.
Oh, that's right.
Over. I don't be just. I guess they felt like they wanted to keep a big man, but I'm like, his contract was ridiculous.
God, that just goes to show you, if you ball 1 year, you can get paid and be sorry the rest of your career. 7 footer, racking that money.
All it takes is 2 years, and one of those years needs to be your contract year.
It was like, oh, Beager's about to be one of the best in. Nope.
$60 million.
He is whack. He is terrible. He don't give you nothing. He is Omer Asik, the terrible version. Like, that is exactly what he is. We thought Omer Asik was bad offensively. Good God. Whew.
Well, dude. Yeah, he had a year. He was averaging like 15 boards.
And it was like, oh, he about to be the dude.
Like 60%.
I was like, oh, snap. Now he can't do nothing. He can't rebound. He can't block shots. He's just a bench warmer. Like, God, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, he did not.
And Houston's been playing well lately. Things have been picking up. James Harden. Dangerous. James Harden is proven to be elite. Still don't think he's worth all that money, but
I mean, he's proven it. That he's balling. One man,
he's balling on that team.
And Utah, like I said, they just want to give. They're giving their spot.
Yeah, they're
to the
giving
Lakers,
it away.
Which now I feel frustrated. Like, if y'all were gonna tank, or I mean, if you guys were just gonna play this bad and miss the playoffs, you really should have traded them dudes
big time. It was like, good Lord,
it's like the trades never happened, and it just zapped. But they have a rough schedule. They playing like all playoff teams like the next 7 or 8 games. Look like, my God.
That's how it goes, man. That's how it goes. You know?
And Lakers, all they got to do is just, you know, struggle to get through the regular teams.
Well, I said the Lakers will be 48-34 come season's end. They need about three more losses.
I still cannot believe that.
They need about three more losses to get to where I said they'd be. So everything is kind of floating right on track to where it should be, to where I said it was going to be. Exactly. Predictions. Love it.
It's just the fact that, like,
I called it.
They would take 48-34 in a heartbeat right now.
I knew, because I saw it. Once all the moves were made, I could see it. I could just see it. And then once Mike Brown got fired, I really saw the writing on the wall. Okay. It's not going to be a good season.
Yeah, well, they're going to sneak in. And their best chance is to play the Spurs.
Yeah.
If Oklahoma City
Wait, what?
In terms of, you know what?
Who, the Lakers? Let them play the Spurs in the first round. Sweep. Sweep. That's all that is. Sweep. All it's going to be is Duncan. Dwight, let me show you how it's done. Get out of here. Are you kidding me?
Well, they'd rather play the Lakers. Well, they'd rather play the Spurs, Oklahoma City, because they're not catching. They're not moving up to six. Because if they played the Clippers, I think the Clippers would beat them. But the fact that they can actually play at home would be a disadvantage.
That's
to the
why
Clippers.
I said, who cares? Because it doesn't matter. Because whoever they play
they
in the first round, they're gonna lose.
So you,
regardless.
See, you don't think. I think it matters.
I don't think it matters. To me, I'm kind of one of those people. If I'm the 9th seed, but I know the 8th seed is going to lose in the first round, I'm really not that upset. Like, it's like, yeah, I had the opportunity, we had the chance, but you know good and well the Lakers aren't winning in the first round anyway. Like,
no,
everybody
buddy.
Has this imagination, like, okay, we're going to get in the playoffs, and then it's all going to click, and the switch is just going to come on, and we're going to roll to the finals. That is not going to happen.
They're going to go on a 10-game winning streak, get into the playoffs.
And get their asses kicked. Like, they're going to get whooped on in the playoffs, because you know what? That's when it's time to play for real. And if you end up playing the Spurs, are you kidding? Greg Popovich? Do you know what Greg Popovich is going to say? It's time to play for real. We're playing the Lakers. Do you know how they played this season? Win. And that's it. And then that's just going to win. That's it.
And they noticed, you know.
Plus, Mike D'Antoni has never been good in the playoffs ever.
And now
so
playing,
what is to make me believe that all of a sudden.
The coach who's basically kept him out the playoffs.
Preach.
The Lakers, I mean, that's been the rivalry. Outside of, you know, them, Lakers, little Celtics in the finals, but this has been the Lakers and the Spurs. The last decade and some change, it's been these two franchises. Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, you know, we know y'all. We know you, Kobe Bryant. You ain't doing nothing new we don't know.
And Tim Duncan
and
can
there
be
is
like,
no Shaq.
All right, get out of here.
Pau Gasol, they don't want back. I'm sorry. Mike D'Antoni does not want Pau Gasol to come back.
Nope.
His eight-man rotation. Well, you know he doesn't. That's what he does is eight-man rotations.
And they're going to be gassed by the time they get to the playoffs.
Honestly, if I'm a Laker fan, I probably wouldn't want him to come back because if you bring Pau Gasol in, then it's like, oh, I had to play Pau Gasol. Now I can't play Antoine Jameson. Now you're throwing off. Now it's going to be Amare Stoudemire in New York. You're throwing off the chemistry. It was just better off if you just weren't playing.
Like, what? That's what I feel bad for Amare. Like, it's like, oh, he came back. Even though he's playing well, it's like, oh, you just screwed up the chemistry we had. Now we can't win no more. Like, what? What the hell? You know what? I give Amari all the credit because he was the one who put New York back on the fucking map. And then Carmelo came. And then it was like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Like, I like Amari, but jeez, he gets the short end of the stick.
You know, Carmelo going to catch some heat, too. I've said beginning of the season, he wears the mantle of, you know, in terms of not having a ring, you know, the person who's going to get talked about the most.
Yep.
If they don't play well, if they get, you know, because I think Indiana has the best chance of beating Miami in the East. And look like New York and Indy going to play each other in the second round.
I don't see that as a good turnout for New York, so I don't know about that one.
I don't know. Carmelo said stuff. He just, you know,
he's a good offensive player.
And the part that gets crowned on is like the dude everybody compares scores to in Jordan. That's what he did. You know, Pippen did all the passing and all of that, and running the plays. I'm like, he did it. Jordan scored, and you say the dude who scored all the time is the best. So
different. But the biggest difference was Jordan played D.
Yeah.
Carmelo don't play no defense. So
nope.
Always going to be Carmelo's Achilles heel.
I just don't understand how they're.
He can give you 30, but he's going to give up 30 on the other end of the court. Like, that's why it's like
this is the telling fact to me with this team. When they paid all this money, their three best players are their front court: Carmelo, Amare, and Chandler.
Tyson Chandler.
Y'all is 21st in rebounding. They should be a top 10 rebounding team, just based off of those three dudes plus Jason Kidd,
who ain't playing no more. He's at the end of the road.
He burnt out.
He's at the end of the road. That's it. Boys to men. End of the road. So, and then J.R. Smith has become a headache again.
It's falling apart.
It's falling apart. So
mirroring Denver.
It's all falling apart. And you don't want to call Carmelo a cancer. You don't want to do it. You don't want to say he's that guy
because
he can put up numbers. But he can't win the big one. You know, he doesn't make other players around him better. Which in all honesty, he doesn't.
That's not his game.
No. He is there to score points.
He's there when you need a dude to get a bucket at the end of a game that all them teams claim that when a guy like Denver or a team like Denver or Indiana doesn't have that guy, you know, like, oh, well, the Knicks have that guy who can make that last second shot. And it's like, all right, but in terms of making plays for everybody else during the game, that's not his strength. His strength is, if you double-team me, I'll probably find the guy, but I'm hot.
And it sucks because he dominates the ball so freaking much. So it's like,
and, you know, they can play either, maybe Chicago, Boston. They play Chicago or Boston. I'm very curious to see what's going to happen.
Not if we get Derrick Rose back, son. We get the Rose back. It's a rickety rap. It's over. Like Casanova.
And Andrew Bynum just situation. God.
Philly took the chance. Bad to worse. You know what? Philly took the chance. But you know what? I mean, He's been out all season. Dwight Howard ain't been the best center in the West. So I mean, it was I'm like the one team that really seems to have done okay for themselves throughout this whole crap. Orlando. They got Vucevic, who's been pretty dang good. They traded and got Tobias Harris, who's been pretty good for them. They just racking up young players who can play. So I'm like, they're the one team that's come out. That's kind of
Reddick, got some pieces.
Got some, you know, I'm like, they're the one team that's kind of looking like, okay, they got a plan. You know, they hired the young GM. He made the bold move with trading Dwight. And it's finally coming to light. That's why they always say you got to wait a little bit to see how everything turns out.
Hey, man. Vucevic is like, why did you give him up? I mean, I don't blame you for trying because Philly needed a home run. You can't just like they were. If they still had the same team, if they had Iguodala, they'd still be 6th, 7th, 8th.
It's hard.
If they had a healthy Andrew Bynum, they could be at least 3-4.
It's hard because with young guys, you have to have a coach who's willing to play them. Like, prime example, had he been on the Lakers with Phil Jackson, he would have never got time. So, like, you have to put him with a coach and somewhat necessary situation where he's going to get that time. Like, he went to Orlando. It was like, okay, you're here. You are the center. I mean, it really ain't no other centers besides you. Show us what you can do. And he's been beasting. I mean, I said it when they made the trade. I did not think it was such a bad. Everybody was crapping on the Magic. I really didn't think it was that bad. I was like, this kid is a first-round pick. He was just a rookie the last year. I mean, it's not like he's been in the league 5 years and we know who he is. We really didn't know what he could do.
Yeah, it's always trading for if you give him an all-star.
You know, it's potential. And now it looked like they got themselves an all-star center.
But you just start off, you just, you know, small.
Looks like they he looked like a future all-star center in the East.
You know, I said they made Amnesty Turgaloo.
They got a plan. I'm like, you got this new GM. Mm-hmm. He has a plan in place. He's working it.
They
got
to start over.
He's working it.
Speaking of Orlando, and I just remembered that. I actually went on line and saw this footage of Dwight Howard recently interviewed on KCAL 9 out here, and he called his team like basically they wasn't nothing.
Yeah, I did read the article and read the quote that he said. Basically, he was like, I played with guys that nobody else wanted, and it was kind of like
I'm their leader.
I was the leader of the team, and I did it all with a smile. And it's like, what? So what you trying to say? And it's like, you know, I wasn't even mad at Jameer Nelson for coming out and saying, you know, like, when are you going to get out the media and just knock it off? Just stop. Like, Dwight, grow up, man. Seriously. And then actually reading into that, digging deeper, I actually read an article from last year before Dwight was traded where he and Jameer Nelson basically got into a fight. It had to be separated by teammates, and it was at that point where it kind of came out that his teammates were kind of getting tired of him and, in a sense, almost wanted him gone.
Their team was interesting because they both got drafted the same year, and, you know, Dwight Howard's the rookie coming out of high school with the little Christian background and all that, and Jameer Nelson was, you know, did 4 years of school.
St. John's.
You know, had a balling season, and they were the captains of the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jamirson had that injury when they went to the finals. But I'm like, Rashard Lewis wasn't no scrub back then. Jameer Nelson ain't no scrub.
Was pretty good.
You feel like if Jameer Nelson played, they might have beat the Lakers. Jameer Nelson was killing the Lakers before he got hurt.
So I'm like, you know what?
Well, he don't know.
Dwight, all I can say is watch your mouth, dude. The NBA is a tight-knit group. So you saying that is implying that you are talking about every single teammate you had had since you've come into the league. So you're pretty much alienating yourself from a lot of people. So I'd be careful and watch your words.
Gosh. And he's like, I never meant to. Like, you need to just
shut up. Just shut up. Why are you even talking about Orlando anymore? You're out of there. Yeah,
if you want to ask your past, you know, just say we did well. You could just say we never got we able to get.
You know,
over
we
the
were
hump.
Never able to. Yeah, we were never able to get able to get over the hump.
You know,
the guys I played with were good guys. They were great teammates. You know, we played hard, but unfortunately, we weren't able to win the big game.
Right. If you want to,
that's it.
Yeah, if you want to get mad for your GM and all that for maybe not picking the smartest people to trade with to get the best players, you know, arguably, yeah, but I mean.
But you saying know, that you, makes you look you air, know, air, air.
You can't air shoot free throws. You turn the ball over a lot.
You're offensively limited.
Yeah, and you just do crap like this. Like, stop dancing in the media. That's half your problem. Like, dude, you're in Los Angeles. If you talk, they will give you the microphone.
Yeah, like.
You got something to say? Say it.
This ain't Orlando where what you said wasn't really heard around the world, dude. This is Los Angeles, California, Hollywood. Anything you say is going on public record. Somebody's going to be there and they're going to catch it. You got paparazzi hiding in the bushes catching every word you say right now. Dude, understand where you are. Understand your environment. Understand where you're living now. You're in Los Angeles, California. This ain't Orlando, dude. This is the big time. This is championship town. This is the city of champs, Avenue of the Stars. You got to know where you are. This is New Central, dude. This is Hollywood. This is Star Nation. Everybody wants to be here. Everybody want to come here. We got the best weather. We got the best women. We got the best everything. Be careful, because you will slip up, get busted, get caught up saying something stupid just like you did. And it's going to blow up into a huge media story. And all you're going to get is, Dwight. Mike's all in your face. So just shh. Don't say anything about Brooklyn. Don't say anything about free agency. Don't say nothing about no other teams. Don't say nothing.
Now, take just a hint shush. From Darren Williams the year before when you should have opted out, and Chris Paul. I'm not talking about it. Every time they ask you what you do, I'm not talking about it. I'm
not talking about it till after the season. I will not discuss my contract.
So what are you
going to
do? I'm not talking about my contract.
Exactly.
You know, I am enjoying myself here. I'm not talking about my contract.
God.
And that's it. And they're like, well, they'll keep asking you. And I'll keep giving them the same answer. And after a while, they're going to be like, oh, I'm going to just stop asking.
Exactly.
Because he not giving me nothing.
If they see you kind of opening up a little bit, they're going to keep coming, dude. That's why you got to close them off. Close the wall, man. God. You cannot feed them stuff. Jesus Christ. He ain't learned. He'll learn. He's going to learn. Especially you stay out here. You sign here 4 more years. You will learn. Keep your mouth shut. Yeah. Kobe can say whatever he wants. You don't understand. Kobe has done what he did. Kobe brought this city 5 championships. Kobe can say whatever the hell he wants to say.
He's arrogant. He's been through the
fire. He's been arrogant since he got into this league.
You know, he's done worse than you. You ain't got caught in effing some white girl in the
quote unquote rape. Yeah, like
you know, you ain't get busted on nothing like that. I heard about the you know, the baby mamas and stuff.
You didn't have to buy a $4 million I'm sorry ring to your wife.
That was $8 million.
Oh, doing double it. Golly.
And then back and forth. Hey, man.
Oh, I love it. NBA, baby. NBA.
Gotta love it, man.
Yep.
But we're going to take a quick break, y'all. We'll be back. Y'all listening to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Holla.
Listen. Hey yo, I don't want the Dougie, I just want money. Study under the understudy, the 120. Young dummies, can't spar. No life, my flow tight, like your pants on. You don't got a chance, pa. Ants on community. Malachi York, freaking see your fucker eulogy. Rock jewelry. What jewelry? I took this from another rapper, slapped him with the Julie G. Cornball rappers, I see him on BET, relieved of the jewelry, interview beef DVD. PT&T, the flow dynamite. Niggas so-so, bozos ain't rhyming right. I hit the line of white, I smoke a double green. Niggas call it purple, what the fuck you mean? Fuck a fist fight, I'm gunning you rappers. I don't give a fuck about None of y'all rap the fifth straight shit. The piff stay lit. My bitch stay dip with the Richard Bay tits. Niggas say shit, shit, they say it ain't shit. Shut the fuck up, nigga, I'm nothing to play with. I bust heaters at your whole damn click blow. Sean Price, the leader of boot camp, click down. Admire the admiral, animal rap. Smack the shit out of a nigga ahead of his hat. Banging on wax, niggas don't bang in the street. Banging online, niggas don't bang in the street. Playing for keeps, keep playing. I slam your ass on your face till your fucking teeth breaking. Pig, the jerk been retired, I'm nice, so I'm back, nigga. Smack, earth, wind, fire, and ice out that nigga. Rap niggas, I doubt if there's nigga doing it like me. Fuck out of here. Pig.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour. If you want to contact us or you have a question you want us to answer on the air, you can email us, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter, @brotherslayman, or leave a message on the Happy Hour hotline, 323-455-4219. And let me know what you think of the music, y'all. I try to pick different kinds of stuff. Electronic hip-hop is what you kind of hear, so let me know what you think. Any requests, hit me up.
Hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns, anything y'all may have, any critiques, anything y'all want to know. If y'all want to know something, set up your fantasy league teams early. Anything y'all want to know. If y'all just inquiring how you think your team's going to do, anything, hey, want to talk some smack, go ahead. Just hit us up anytime.
Right. We just got a question from Mr. James, at Mr. James _CEO. What's up, man? What's going on, fam?
Going on, sir.
He asked, y'all need to speak on the combine and all the quote-unquote questions these players are being asked. That topic has me so fired up. Is it okay to ask a potential future player / employee any question with millions of dollars on the line?
That is so hard. It's really difficult because of the simple fact that these guys are getting paid millions of dollars. So you almost feel like they have the right to ask them anything they damn well want. Remember, if I'm investing $20 million in you, I should be able to know the ins and outs of your life. But at the same time, we live in a nation where technically, even in certain states, it is legal. But for the majority, it is legal to ask anyone in any kind of job interview about their sexual preference, religion, age, any of that stuff. So it's a fine line. And especially with the world we live in now, you almost want to think it really shouldn't even make a difference anymore. I know we had the whole issue with, you know, the player coming out during Super Bowl week who was pretty adamant that he was like, nah, you know, I wouldn't be cool with a gay teammate and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, look, man, first of all, we got to get over the stereotype that every gay person is going to find you attractive. Let's just kill that notion. That's just flat out ignorant.
But no, you know why.
It's just,
I mean, this is a thing because every people are like, they classify heterosexual men as dogs. And every time we look at a chick, we just always thinking about sex. So they just take that equation and just flip it to where these guys must think about this the same way regular guys think about chicks. Do they think about guys like that? Because they a guy. I mean, that is their logic. And I'm like, it don't work like that. I understand your questioning, it's not like that.
But it's like, dude, you act like the dude is just going to come up and just attack you. It's like, dude, come on.
Yeah,
it's like, yes, there might be some gay dude who might find your ass attractive. Does that mean he's going to say anything to you? No. Does that mean he's going to approach you? No. As a man, you find women attractive all the time. Do you say something to him every single time? No. Do you speak to every woman you think is attractive? No. You may speak to one on occasion, but you ain't going to go up to every single chick you think is attractive and be like, hey, what's going on? It's not realistic. It don't work.
There are them niggas like that, though. There are them folk like that.
Hey, and you know what? Gay people now are just a part of society. They have come out of the closet full steam ahead.
If you've done history, like this country tells you, you see it.
And let's be honest, they may not say it till after they come out, you know, after they retire. But there's gay athletes at all the freaking time, and it's never gonna stop, and the questioning is never gonna stop until a superstar until maybe not even necessarily a superstar, but a star player who's one of those guys where it's like, you ain't cutting him because he's gay.
In a team, because
he's that damn good. Like, if Ben Roethlisberger
in one of the big, in one of America's big four sports,
got to be. It has to be one of those big four:
basketball,
football, baseball, hockey. One of them. If you got a guy who comes out where it's just one of those players, like I said, like a Ben Roethlisberger, where you're just like, he comes out and is like, yeah, I'm homosexual. We ain't cutting this nigga. He's too good. So deal with it.
Right.
I mean, I can understand how it can bring up, you know, uncomfortableness in the locker room and all of that.
That's why
other
not
stuff.
Bring it up.
Which is why, you know, a lot of guys shy away from it and don't want to bring it up and don't bring it up till after they retire.
And it starts in the, you know, when you start playing in high school and college. You know, you see how the locker rooms are there. You're not bringing it into the pro setting where it's, you have on record where fools is like, I don't like that shit. And if I see a gay dude as my teammate, I ain't gonna fuck with it.
Nope.
Or be like, nah, there ain't no gay teammate on my team. I know that. I'm like, oh shit. Okay, I'm
so everybody, I mean, you play the role. You always play the role. No matter where you are, you play the role. You know, for the job interview, you play the role. And I feel Brandon Brandon Iambadejo from Baltimore, who came out and said basically, of course you're going to say, you have to say you're straight.
Right.
Why, who's really going to come out and just be like, yeah, I'm gay as all get out. Yeah, like, what?
But they always ask him, like, do you have a girlfriend? Like, no. Or, do you like girls?
Do you like girls? Like, and they say they ask you these straight-faced and serious as hell. Yeah. So it's like.
But then they also throw it in when they, I heard when they asked Manti Te'o, you know, that Katie Couric, are you, you know, gay? He going to laugh at it. I'm like, it's usually a laugh because you laughing to me like, did they really just ask me this question?
Yeah, like, that's how I feel. You know, like, you're laughing at the almost the stupidity of even asking me.
And people,
like,
because they ask you that, they are immediately looking at your response. If you say, are you gay? No! Why are you
so defensive? It's like, oh, my God. No, I'm not gay. Nah, well, why are you so passive about it? Like, how am I supposed to say it?
I need to get all Tiger Woods on everybody. Like, man, you just a cheating dog, okay? Clearly, you a straight man. Like,
but I'm like,
yeah, I don't be messing with a lot of chicks like that. Why not? Like, because
I'm not a dog.
I'm trying to make money.
Yeah, like, because I'm focused on my paper. Like, what?
You know.
Plus, I'm like NFL.
You're like, I'm an athlete. Chicks trying to put that voodoo pee on, dude.
You have teams in some of the gayest cities in the world. We got San Francisco. First of all, the dude from San Francisco came out and said that you ought to be ashamed of yourself since you live in the gayest city in the United States of America. Secondly, the Atlanta Falcons. I lived in Atlanta for 2 years, okay? There's a lot of gays out there. A lot of gays. There's very high AIDS rates out there. It's the STDs, too. Ooh, it's high. New York. Sex in the City. Another one.
Come on.
A lot of flamboyant men out there. Fashion capital of the United States, freaking of the world, probably. They're everywhere. No, especially now. Who cares anymore? Who cares anymore? There's gay football players, there's gay basketball players, there's gay baseball players. They in every sport. They all over the place. That's just the world we live in now. They have come out of the closet. It's pretty much become okay. I'm not gonna sit here and say it's the norm, but it's gotten to the point now where if somebody came out and was just like, I'm gay, it's at this point now where okay.
You hope it like that.
Yeah, you expect it to be that way, but you have those homophobes.
People say they're going to need a Jackie Robinson type.
It's not
just can like I'm okay with being out here and taking the beat,
taking the bashing.
No, you're going to get a few more elbows. You know, when you in the paint, you're going to get a few more spikes stepped on your leg when you're coming out of a pile. You know.
Fans is gonna taunt you a little more. They might throw some stuff at you.
Talk about your family, all that. You know,
if you got Twitter and all that, expect it to be blown up with all kind of threats and everything.
Hate, and I don't want
hate
my
mail.
Children. You know,
it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, and all that crap. I get that, and I get the logic that people have, and under. You know, I get it. But you have to understand. I don't even want to bring this up, but it's damn near the same thing as when black people were going through almost. That's why I say almost.
It's not the same thing.
It's almost the same thing.
It has some similarities.
It has some similarities with the whole segregation thing.
It is about being, you know, bigotry and hate and oppression.
And I mean, you have, you had, you know, everybody goes through their time of being hated. The Jews had to go through it. You know, black folks had to go through it.
That's why when you
Indians
read
Indians had to go through it. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, you know.
No, that's why you read all the paper when you go to get a job and no discrimination on, you know, race, gender, sexual, like all of that. You can hate on all of that, and you just like, which one is it? Which one gets it the worst?
It's jacked up because even though it says no discrimination, there's still discrimination.
It's gonna be. We have the right to think what we want, you know. Because my answer is clearly, yeah, there is a limit. Yeah. I'm not answering every one of your damn questions. He's like, well, I'm paying you a lot. I'm like, well, if you want me to do my job, you don't need to know all my crap. Like, oh, can I ask? Okay, this is an interview, right? Okay, let me ask you some questions. Because I know if I don't ask any questions, you start wondering, do I care about wanting this job? Let me ask you some questions.
And it's like, why the hell does the fact that I was in detention when I was in seventh grade make a difference of me playing football when I'm 22 years old? Why does that matter? Mm-hmm. Like, I understand, you know, they try to, you know, get you to tell the truth, and they do the whole psychological thing and all that, and I understand it. You know, they are investing a lot of money in you. It's not like you're getting, you know, $1,000. Like, you're getting millions of freaking dollars. Like, they're paying you a lot of money. So I can understand they're going through everything and wanting to see the ins and outs. I get it. But there has to be a fine line. There has to be.
Oh, yeah.
And teams crossed it.
Yes. And I mean, especially if you're coming out and saying, well, this is not what they're supposed to do, then stop them from asking.
Well, the first of all, this has been going on for years. It ain't like this is the first time players have been questioned about their sexuality in NFL.
It's just been like,
this is the first time you've had actual players, though, come out and just be like, yeah, they asked me if I was gay, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, and the fact that you had, you know, Denard Robinson and Le'Veon Bell, like two profile high college athletes, it's kind of like, what the hell are you asking these fools? Are they gay for?
This is technically illegal.
Yeah, it's
like you can lose your job over this.
Why are you asking them that? Why does it matter?
You know, and of course you're gonna be like, what team was that? Who are you from? Okay,
and don't let it slip out of which team it was, because let me tell you, all the gay activist groups will be at your front doorstep hating you. So be careful.
For your job.
Calling for you.
Like,
Mr. President, fire this man. Yeah.
But of course people going to ask. I mean, you can ask it because you have the ability to speak.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't. And I'm going to be like, you know, say what the fuck I want to say.
Don't cross that line. So
I'm like, nope, you got a problem with gays? I'm not. I'm just asking because, you know, I'm like, if you don't like them, do you like black people? You know, we just asking, aren't we? I mean, I'm just want to see what kind of company I'm trying to work for.
It's
Do I want your kind of millions of dollars? Maybe I'll take my talents to someplace else.
Yeah. So, got to be careful. You got to be careful what you're asking these guys. I mean, they're college kids. They're not dummies.
No, getting into this.
They're smart kids. Game. Exactly.
And it's crazy. I mean, you got Artie Goodell on a toss of trying to make it safer and his fear of a player dying on the field and especially on his watch. I understand him trying to take it. See, that is a fear. And you feel like it happen? Like, yeah, because you got guys who are just, you're playing a violent sport. Yeah,
it can happen.
You know, you guys
somebody gets hit the wrong way. It definitely can happen. I mean, it's happened where you got guys broken their necks and, oh, yeah, it can happen.
Watching two Rams, you just clashing into each other.
I never forget when LT broke Joe Theismann's leg. Anything can happen.
Yeah, you seeing players like, oh, I hit my spine and I'm paralyzed. You've seen that happen. I mean, it's always just depends on, you know, where the person gets hit and how they land and, you know, their physical condition. Did you hit a nerve that was already sensitive?
And Jadeveon Clowney came out, saw a little interview he had on ESPN, came out, said he's going to play again next year at South Carolina. And when they asked him, you know, in regards to getting hurt, I really like the kid showed me he's mature and he understands who he is. You know, he was pretty much like, I can get hurt doing anything. I can get hurt being at home. I can walk off a curb the wrong way and sprain my ankle. This is a kid who gets it. I can get hurt doing anything. I can walk across the street and accidentally get hit by a car. You can get hurt doing anything. So playing football, I mean,
yeah, dude,
you're risking injury. It's like, dude, I'm risking injury every day walking around. Like,
even the guys who are suing, you know, for, you know, we're not sure all of them are suing for the right reasons, but you know, a lot of them been asked, would you still play the game? They're like, yeah.
You look at a guy like RG3. He got hurt and nobody touched him. He hurt himself. Like, you can get hurt doing anything. You plant your foot the wrong way, you tear up your knee. It happens.
That's why you got my man, the Heisman Trophy winner, looking like he about to pull out, trying to get an insurance policy on him.
That's what these college players do. They take out
insurance. You said the other home, we talked about it. The cat out of South Carolina.
Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, he's
talking about getting like a $5 million insurance policy. Smart man. Mm-hmm. I mean, because if my career is over and I'm supposed to be getting all this money in the future, you damn right I want some kind of cover just in case.
This is my pay.
Just in case.
Yeah, this is what's going to feed my family.
And I'm like, shh. It's not like the schools can't afford it. You're making millions off of them anyway.
I'm trying to get money like Joe Flacco.
You know what? I'm so pissed off. I was done with Baltimore when I saw that contract. I was like, really, dude? You did all that so you can make 0.1 more and be the highest paid player in the league. Like, what? I hate that crap. He's making $20.1 million a year. He is now the highest paid player ever in the NFL. What? Drew Brees is right behind him at $20.0 million. Like, what the f? So $100,000 extra just made the icing on the cake. Like, what? Greed.
Yeah, you know what that means.
And you know what? You know what that means now? Aaron Rodgers is getting $240 million. Like,
that means RG3 about to get paid.
Andrew Luck's getting stupid money. Like, yeah. Dude.
Took his team to the Super Bowl.
And I get it, but I'm like, you know what? You ain't better than Peyton. You ain't better than Eli. You ain't better than Tom. You ain't better than Aaron.
But he's put up the Drew.
Numbers,
that's the thing. He's put up the numbers. Hey, Eli Manning had a running game and a defense. Also, it ain't just.
He had no defense. Joe Flacco had no defense.
He had a defense.
Thank you. Everybody is acting like Joe Flacco like carried this team by himself. You even said it. He's not even the best player. He wasn't even the best player on offense.
No, but it's one, he's a quarterback. Two, he said he has the most wins the last 5 years in the end of the quarterback. I'm putting this like, if I put it on paper, then I'm like, it's hard to argue.
It gets out of hand because it's like.
You paying for it. Because investing, he can say, well, I'm trying to cash in right now. Because I'm like, hey, yeah, maybe the next 5 years I don't put up Tom Brady, all them numbers. But what? I'm trying not to get paid?
But it's not that you're not trying to get paid. But it's like, where's the cap? Because now, Aaron Rodgers is getting twice as much as you are getting. So,
for your
$20.1 million, Aaron Rodgers is going to be making 40 a year.
That's what happens.
And then it's like, oh, RG3 is a free agent. Oh, I want more than Aaron Rodgers got.
But you saw that's why they capped the rookie scale.
Which they should have did 10 years ago.
Like every
year was like, I want more than that first round pick. I want more than him, and I want more than he got. I'm better than him.
After Jamarcus Russell, I want $25 million.
You and then after he was a bust, they were like, okay, we got to fix this. We got to change this.
You know, Sam Bradford, I want $30 million, Garrett. Like, you ain't even done nothing. Remember the NBA, that Glenn Robinson, I want $100 million. I'm like, you ain't done nothing.
You want more than Jordan, huh?
Dude, a rookie? Like, come on.
And that's where you had to stop because you had players coming out like, I've been playing in the league for 10 years and this motherfucker is just coming in and making more money than I ever made in my whole career off his signing bonus. Like, what? What? So, I mean, you're born in
the right era.
But that's why you have smart people like a Tom Brady. Who I hope in his
he got cash. He got cash.
Set a precedent that these guys will understand. Look, if you guys are seriously about winning championships, that's what you're supposed to do. All right, fine. I'll sign an extension. I'm going to take less money. He took less money. He's one of the first people where I've heard all the hoopla about taking less money. He took less money.
Yeah, he took
because he probably could have got more than Joe Flacco. But he said, you know what? I want to win for the next few years. I want you guys to have money to sign free agents. Yeah, so I'll take a lot of less money and be content with it.
They basically took a
he and took I'll retire less, a Patriot. Smart.
It's almost like he took less salary and just got more
more bonus more money
guaranteed.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yep, and then
you and I'm gonna save y'all some money in the long run. Y'all can sign some free agents. I can retire Patriot. We all happy. I can potentially win a couple more rings.
See, and you got like Ben Roethlisberger taking less. You know, but the other thing Ben Roethlisberger had his honeymoon.
Let's clarify taking less. They're not taking less. There's a difference between taking a pay cut and restructuring your contract. Restructuring your contract, all that is they're basically lowering your base salary and giving you a signing bonus basically over the length of the contract. Yeah. So you're technically not losing any money. You're just changing it around. Like completely taking a pay cut, that is a different story. That means, nigga, we are taking money from you. You ain't no restructure. We are taking your money away from you. So, and that's where you had the Broncos coming out and say they want almost Duvernville to take a pay cut, which, you know what? Looking at what he's making, I'm like, he needs to take a pay cut.
Looking at what he's making, I'm like, I don't want
to. Like $12 million. I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. Von Miller's better than you and should be making that much money, but. Come on, we can't afford it. I'm like, dude, we got Peyton Manning making all this dough. You got Decker and Demaryius Thomas you're going to have to pay eventually coming up. Cats got to make sacrifices. So I applaud Tom Brady for what he did, taking less money for the betterment of the team, looking out for his squad. You know, I applaud him for that because a lot of, you know, the Gilbert Arenas of the world. Oh, I took less money. I took $7 million off a $120 million contract. Like, what? That's not taking less money. So, you know, I love what Tom Brady did. And, you know, that was a class move. That was a clear class move. And I hope he sets a precedent for other guys who can say, you know what? Tom Brady did that, took less money for his team. Why not I? Why shouldn't I do the same thing?
Some people feel it. I mean, if you've gotten paid already, the long-term,
And that makes a difference.
Some dudes are like, well, you already got money. Yeah. So you can say, you know what? I've eaten, and I'm pretty full, so I can take a little less. And it's like, I'm starving. I just got thrown some nice piece of meat. Like, I'm about to work this.
Hey, and you know what? It worked out for Joe Flacco. He won the Super Bowl
in a contract year.
Yeah, he's still a young quarterback.
5 years. He came into 5 years when the Ravens was screaming for a quarterback. You know, take him to the AFC Championship, 3-time Super Bowl.
You know, it wasn't like he was a guy who was already in a contract and didn't have to re-sign and they already had him. You know, he was in a contract season. It was like, I won the Super Bowl. Pay me.
If Andrew Luck or RG3 do pay the same thing in the next 4 years, they're going to get the same kind of money too.
Oh, yeah. No, they're going to get more. Ain't no same kind. They're getting more.
They're going to get 21.8.
Yep.
You know, and of course, all the struggling quarterback. I mean, Alex Smith going to the Chiefs.
You know what? For people who clown Alex Smith, I like what the Chiefs and Andy Reid are doing.
It's an upgrade.
For Andy Reid's offense, you don't necessarily need a huge arm. He likes to dink and dunk a lot. He likes to throw the short intermediate passes. He's not throwing deep all the time. You know, he did on occasion, but he's not always throwing deep. So you don't necessarily need a big arm for that. They were able to re-sign Dwayne Bowe to a long-term deal, which was big.
I was surprised I thought he'd leave, but
he got paid.
You know he did.
They tagged Brandon Albert.
Don't come out now that he got that money.
I mean, you hope now that with a coach like Andy Reid, a guy who's been there, who's a veteran coach, you know, you hope this fresh start will be good for him. Hopefully, now that Dwayne Bowe has an actual quarterback who can get him the ball, I'm sure he'll be a little bit more excited. I'm sure, you know, seeing Alex Smith come in probably gave him a little bit more reason to sign on. At least they're trying to do some things with the quarterback position because, God, he is a clear upgrade over Matt Castle. You know, you still got Jamal Charles. So if you can add a couple pieces here and there, their offense is okay. You know, defensively, they're all right. So we'll see. They have the number one pick. If they can trade down, maybe pick up some more picks, and, you know, who knows?
Hey, man, but they got a nice pick, though. Props. They got the 2013 second-round pick, which is 34th, and a conditional third-round in 2014. I cannot believe.
You know what? San Francisco, it's not even fair. Hey. How you got 15 picks? How do you have 15 draft picks? They have to trade them. They don't have room for all the draft picks. So it's like, take all the picks and give me Darrelle Revis. Like, what?
And it's supposedly the source that 49ers are not serious suitors for Revis.
You know what?
They don't want to take on that money.
I give you Denver Broncos. Give Jets second round pick. Get Darrelle Revis right now. Get him. You have Bailey Island and Revis Island. Can't nobody do nothing. Let's go. Nah, but Darrelle Revis will go somewhere. He ain't going to be a Jet.
You want to pay for somebody rushing.
He ain't going to be a Jet by the time the season starts.
No.
Where he will go, that remains to be seen. I don't know. You know who I actually could see trying to make a potential run for him? They just don't have the money. Baltimore.
Yeah.
They just don't have that bread. They just can't really afford it. Plus, he wants too much money. In all honesty, for Darrelle Revis, he's going to have to take a smaller, like, 1 to 2 year deal, at least to prove you're healthy. Because I'm like, dude, if you prove you're healthy, you're going to get paid.
Yeah, but you got to, he just wants, he's.
You're going to get paid.
He knows something's up. That's why he's trying to get it off the my experience. But people don't pay for secondary like that.
Yeah.
People don't want to shell out.
Nope.
Man.
Oh, boy. The draft's coming up. Oh, it's going to be good. The NFL seems like it don't never stop. There's always something every month. After the draft, you got mini camps in May. Then June, you know, kind of dies down a little bit. Then once July comes, training camp starts rolling in, exhibitions.
Yeah, you think Welker's
going to... They don't get no breaks.
You think Welker just going to stay?
Yes. Wes Welker's going to stay.
Hopefully they pay him.
Wes Welker going to stay. Mike Wallace is going to Miami. Mark it down. He's getting super money. He's getting paid. Like, he's getting stupid money.
Yeah, hopefully they're paying. Oh, how can I forget? Does Vince Young deserve another chance? You heard him working out for at the pro day at his old school, University of Texas.
Does he deserve another chance? I say yeah. Give him another shot. He had his moments where it just seemed like the pressure and everything was getting a little too much for him. You know, he's basically gone broke, spent all his money. He was an immature kid who came into the NFL and got more money than he knew what to do with and didn't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
And blew it all. Giving out money to his friends, buying all kind of crap he don't need.
In excess. And it's always like, trying to go out and live that life.
That's what ends up happening. You know, that's why they have these symposiums for these players to let them know about their finances. And they're telling, because I'm like, you don't understand. These kids come out of college and I'm like, you don't get what $20 million just right up front is going to do to you. You're going to be like, nigga, I am rich.
Everybody know your financial situation?
Everybody. The nation knows. It ain't just like your family know. Everybody who reads about sports knows how much your contract is.
We can find out how much you
work. We know how much your signing bonus is. We know how much you make every single year. So it ain't no secret. So yeah, I mean, you're gonna have people who are out there trying to, you know, slide me a little something this, something that. It's okay to help your family, but you got to draw a line. You can't just be like, all right, I'm buying y'all this and this and this and this. I'm not paying y'all mortgage every month. Like, seriously. And then, you know, that's the hard part about being a star athlete. Yeah. You know, you got friends, you got family who come in and just kind of and basically almost expect you to take care of them because you balling.
Yeah.
I'm your family, dude. How you not going to take care of me? It's like, I got to take care of me and my family, too. Like, come on. Well, you making millions. It's like, yeah, and I'm setting that aside for my children. Like,
yeah, but I'm not making millions, but I'm not living here.
Exactly.
I'm not making millions and living on $700 a month rent. Like, I'm trying to live with, you know,
at a certain level.
My means.
Yeah, a certain status.
Above.
Yeah. You know,
I can afford this, and you find out, ooh, I can't.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. I think he deserves another chance. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if another team gave him another chance. Yeah,
he should be in the league. He should be backing up somebody.
I'm like, as bad as the quarterback situation is some of these teams, Vince Young can't get a chance, especially with the whole spread option and the run option and all that. I'm like, he'd be perfect for that.
He can win games.
Yeah, he can run. He's proven he can win games. He can throw a little bit. He'd be perfect for that, you know, that run option crap people want to run. You bring him in as a backup. So in the case you run that run option and your starter gets hurt, you got somebody who can step right in and take over, no problem. So Redskins, looking at y'all. He might be a guy you want to look at. So
we're gonna take a quick break, come back and wrap up. Y'all listening to the Brothers Lamin Sports Happy Hour.
Holla. This goes out to Big you. This goes out to you and you and you, Biggie. And you. This goes out to you. This goes out to Biggie. You. This goes out to you and you and you. Your reign on the top was short like leprechauns as I crush so-called Willies, thugs, and rapadons. Get in that ass quick, fast like Ramadan. It's that rap phenomenon. Don Dada, fuck Papa. Gotta call me Francis MH. White intake like toast, tote iron. Was told in shootouts, stay low and keep firing. Keep extra clips for extra shit. Who's next to flip on that cat with that grip on rap? The most shady. Frankie baby, ain't no telling where I may be. May see me in DC at Howard Homecoming with my man Capone drumming fucking something. You should know my steelo. Went from 10 G's for blow to 30 G's a show to all G's with O's I never seen before. So, Jesus, get off the notorious. Mean us before I squeeze and bust. If the beef between us, we can settle it with the chrome and metal shit. I make it hot like a kettle get. You're delicate, you better get. Who sent you? You still pedal shit. I got more rides, the great adventure. Biggie,
how are you gonna do it?
Kicking the door, waving the 4-4. All you heard was Papa, don't hit me no more. Kicking the door, waving the 4-4. All you heard was Papa, don't hit me no more. Kicking the door, waving the 4-4. All you heard was Papa, don't hit me no more. Kicking the door, waving the 4-4. All you heard was Papa, don't hit me no more. On your mark, get set. When I spark, you're wet. Look how dark you get when you're marked for death. Should I start your breath or should I let you die? In fear, you start to cry. Ask why. Lyrically, I'm worship. Don't front the word sick. You cursed it, but rehearsed it. I drop unexpectedly like bird shit. You herbs get stuck quickly for royalties and show money. Don't forget the publishing. I punish them. I'm done with them, son. I'm surprised you run with them. I think they got cum in them, cause they nothing but dicks. Trying to blow up like nitro and dynamite sticks. Mad, I smoke hydro, rock diamonds, that's sick. Got paid off my flow, rhyme with my own clip. Take trips to Cairo, laying with your bitch. I know you praying you was rich, fucking prick. When I see ya, I'ma kick in the door, waving the 4-4. All you heard was Papa, don't hit me no more. Kick in the door, waving the 4-4. All you heard was Papa, don't hit me no more. Kick in the door, waving the 4-4. All you heard was Papa, don't hit me no more. Kick in the door, waving the 4-4. All you heard was Papa, don't hit me no more. This goes out for those that choose to use disrespectful views on the king of NY. Fuck that, why try? Throw bleach in your eye, now you're brailing it. Slash that light shit, I'm scaling it. Conscience of your nonsense. In 88, so more powder than Johnson & Johnson. Choke steel like Bronson. Vigilante, you wanna get on, son? You need to ask me. Ain't no other kings in this rap thing. They siblings, nothing but my children. One shot, they disappearing. It's ill when MCs used to be on cruddy shit. Took home, ready to die. Listen, study shit. Now they on some money shit. Successful out the blue. They lightweight. Fragile. My 9 milli make the white shake. That's why my money never funny. And you still recouping. Stupid, stupid.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Brothers Lamin Sports Happy Hour. We're going to hit a few quick topics before we head on out. First up, Mike Trout. The runner-up to MVP voting last season in the major leagues.
Mr. Angel himself.
Was making $482,000 last year. Could have gotten between $750,000 and $950,000 this year.
Mm-hmm.
The Angels only decided to pay him $510,000.
Mm-hmm.
It's only $20,000 over the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Agent pissed the hell off. which, you know, I guess agent he should be.
Well, he's upset because he gets a cut of that. Mm-hmm. So, of course, he's upset. No, I mean,
he's not up to make the full on.
This is baseball. Yet. This is baseball, baby. Mm-hmm. This is how baseball is. This is how baseball always been. They always do this. Why am I gonna pay you top notch when I can get you for 50 cents on the dollar? For what? It's in my right as owner. I have the right to do it. You just blew up last year.
Right.
Do I need to just pay you because you had one good season?
They deep. I mean, they brought in all
they
this
brought
money.
In Josh Hamilton and still got Albert Pujols, you know. So our pockets are rolling deep right now. Mm-hmm. You know,
they got a lot of talent on that.
Show team. Me again. You know. Show me again. And I mean, it's unfortunate, you know, he was very good last year. He deserves to be paid top notch, but in baseball, that's almost one of the hard things about playing baseball. It's like, yeah, all the money's guaranteed. When you're like a draft pick in baseball, they sign you to like they hold your rights literally for like 7-8 years. So they're paying you like smidgens increases every year. So I'm like, you're not seeing a lot of money until like 8 years down the line when you finally hit arbitration. And that's if you're good.
Yeah.
If you're good, then it's like, well, I want this much. But of course, the other team's going to say, no, we won't pay you this much. So you got to come to an agreement. Like, it's just, that's baseball. Yeah. We're never going to pay you as much as you think you're worth or as much as you want.
Right, especially when we don't have to.
Not at
all.
You
know damn well if, you know, once you're up for arbitration, you know,
it's
if,
like
you,
that's,
if you
that's
put up them numbers, oh, you getting like $150 million. You getting Albert Pujols. You getting $100 million easy.
But see, here's the thing, and the hard thing is with baseball, it's like
7 year, 125.
You hold your rights for like 8 years. Then you go through arbitration for like another 3. So you don't hit free agency until like 10 years after you've been in the league. But it's all guaranteed money.
Yeah.
And they give every you, dime is guaranteed.
They give you a shitload of money.
You get paid. If you can throw 100 miles an hour, you getting $20 million. Like, you can get money. So it's like, if you got a kid out there who wants to play baseball, put him in baseball. He might get drafted out of high school. And I mean, that's the good thing. That's a good thing about baseball. You can be drafted out of high school and choose to go back to college if you want to. You can still go to school and go to college and enter the draft again next year. And then if you don't like it, go back to school, do it again. I mean, that's the cool thing about the draft. You know, you got the NBA who's like, you sign with an agent, you're done. You can't come back to school. But, you know, baseball works differently, you know. So owners are still owners. You're an investment, and if I can get a good piece for cheap, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
It's a business.
Especially
when it all boils down to it, it's a freaking business, and you guys are just investments, basically.
Yeah, and over in college basketball, tournament coming up.
March Madness, baby.
This is when I start watching.
Yep. That's when everybody
I can't,
does.
You know. I mean, college basketball's great to watch, but that's a lot of games. And
I just like the March Madness because that just seems when the most drama happens.
It's one game.
You have these small schools coming up out of nowhere. I'll never forget when Hampton Iowa State.
And that beat South Carolina.
Going crazy. Couldn't believe it, but, you know.
I think we beat Iowa State, too.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that was the game.
So, what I mean,
up? Shout out to Hampton University.
That's why you love the March Madness tournament. You got these schools who, Creighton and all these other schools who come out of nowhere and make it to almost get there.
That's because you always get like, if you get at least 3 or 4 games where every team that's supposed to win doesn't win. Mm-hmm. And you get a lot of last second buzzer beaters. I mean, that's fun.
It's great. See
the kids just like pumped up, and the ones that lose, they just look defeated.
See
and
some who teary eyed and they cry after the game. I mean, you know, it's an emotional game, you know, and it's great to watch. It's great for the nation. It's great for everyone. So I'll be happy to see it.
Yeah, and then this thing with the Big East and these 7 Catholic schools, DePaul, Georgetown, Marquette, Providence, Seton Hall, St. John, and Villanova, basically leaving. And you're like, well, are the remaining teams still going to be? I don't have 10 teams. That's it? Like, what are they going? Other schools going to be now? Like, just we the new Big East? Or
you can be independent.
Big East West? I don't know.
They may split it. I have no idea what they're going to do. I'm just annoyed with that whole situation.
This whole thing changing. I mean, I like the, you know, the Pac-12 and it's still hard.
It's like, come on.
We saw these super conferences.
We got to combine everything now. Just like, good Lord.
We shuffling. Let's jump in the ACC. Let's jump in the SEC. Like,
now we got to go to the Big 12. Like, what?
Oh, the only way we can play for the big money in college football, we got to be in the major conference. Well, let me get in one.
Yep. So, and then you got the whole issue with the NCAA not wanting fans to run off on the court anymore after, I guess, big time upsets.
Yeah, it's been happening a lot because damn, can't nobody keep a number one spot in this this year.
I mean, those
a lot of it now. So that's part
how it
of
goes.
The reason. But now they're like, wait, this is getting out of hand.
I mean, it's one of those things. It's an emotion. I mean, you're, and I can understand it. You know, going to Morehouse and, you know, taking pride in your school and all that. When these fools beat somebody like a. Let's say Morehouse beat Duke in a basketball game. Like, do you realize how incredibly unrealistic that is and will probably never happen again on the planet? Of course everybody's going to rush down. You got fans going crazy who are happy, and half of them are college kids.
Yeah, that's why. It's college, and then that's part of what makes it March Madness and all that.
It's the college experience. Yeah. You have a blast. You're repping the school. The school goes crazy. The fans are going nuts. I mean,
yeah, unranked school.
It's enjoyable.
You get to play a you know, damn top five program.
Why should I wait for the other?
Win.
Why should I wait for the other school to get off the court? No, you should sit there and watch all of us boast and enjoy ourselves.
It's
Let's
all
go.
The safety reason now.
Yeah,
yeah. They I know they banned it in the SEC, and now just talking them doing it again. And I
Fine.
Get player safety because now we got. Because now we got crazies out here now. And
Everything's about safety now. It can't do nothing anymore. Nope. It's like, Jesus.
Let's jump rope with no rope.
Yeah, basically.
I can't stand that. God, I saw that. Like, everybody gets a trope. Like, look, I had that happen when I was a kid at soccer. We all got trophies. Well,
everybody gets a trophy.
The person who was the best player on the team got a separate trophy. And I was like,
I respect that. Yeah, it's not like one of those things where we have to always give everybody equal. It's like, no. If you sorry, you sorry. If you didn't earn the best, if you the MVP, you the MVP. Yeah,
if you didn't win the game.
If you the best player, and we all know it, you should get a better, bigger trophy than everybody. I mean, you're the best of the best. Right.
I mean, yeah, but you want to get the ego.
That's the world we live in. Here we go.
But I get it and why they're doing it, but it is one of them things that just it'll be sad to see go away. Like, oh, my God, they just got upset. And
then you're going to have the players looking around like, oh, where are our fans at?
Basically, all the players are just on the floor, and that's just them.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to run off anyway because, like, I forgot.
You'll have one fan run off like, oh,
you're too close.
Yeah.
You know, they don't do it in pros because it's like, why am I running on the court for? I don't
exactly.
Care.
These are young college kids. They have full of energy. They're full of enthusiasm. They
full of that liquor, too.
Yep. And they full of school spirit. And they just, you win and they go crazy, especially in the rival games. They go bananas. Shit. So, I mean, you can't get rid of it. It's almost like you can't get rid of it. It's like a tradition damn near. But whatever.
We want to thank y'all for tuning into the Brother Lemon Sports Happy Hour. As always, you can find us on blackisonline.com. Great podcasting team that we have out here. Got the one and only Black Is Break with KC Layman.
Going on, sister.
And the team of illustrious Negroes. Yeah, I'm one of them. What's up? y'all, Brother Malcolm, Culture Connection.
Brother Malk.
You know, always trying to do big things, keep y'all entertained.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
You know, you can find all the great podcasts on Stitcher and iTunes Radio. And if you want to hit up our show, you can email us, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, @brotherslayman. You can always call and leave a message, 323-455-4219. I appreciate it, Mr. CEO. Give us a question. Let us know if you wanted to answer it on air.
Just want to thank y'all for listening to us. For the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour with your hosts Chris and Jonathan, where we give it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy.
We are original.